Hi and welcome to the Corporate Life Podcast. My name is Hina Siddiqui and I loved and hated my corporate jobs for years. This podcast is going to empower you to go high on your career without losing yourself. I invite you to join me each week as you will hear real cool stories of the real cool corporate people doing real things in the corporate world. And their experiences and advice can change your story too. Hi, this is Hina Siddiqui and you are listening to the Corporate Life Podcast. Today we have a distinguished guest who has carved a path of leadership and innovation in the corporate world. Dr. Brian Kropp is the President of Growth at World 50 Group, overseeing practices dedicated to innovation and leadership development. His professional journey is marked by senior roles at industry giants such as Accenture, Gartner, and the Corporate Executive Board. Beyond his corporate success, Brian has generously shared his expertise on several nonprofit boards, including Everybody Wins, Kid Power, and the U.S. Fencing Association. Brian holds a PhD in economics and public policy from the University of North Carolina. He currently lives in Falls Church, Virginia, with his wife and three children. In today's episode, Brian is going to share valuable insights and lessons from his corporate leadership journey. We will explore the principles that have guided him through the twists and turns of the business world and the wisdom he has gained along the way. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You have such an impressive bio. I was going through it and we spoke a few weeks ago and you shared your journey. And I'm so excited to bring your story to the audience. So thank you very much for your time today.
No, I'm looking forward to the conversation. It should be fun.
Brian, your bio is very impressive, as I said, and you have worked with some really big companies in big leadership roles. And we don't start from the peak, obviously. So where did you start and how did you reach where you are right now?
Yeah, it was, in all honesty, kind of an accident. I was in grad school getting a PhD and thought I wanted to be a professor. And then I realized what it is that a professor actually does and realized it wasn't right for me. So as I was finishing grad school, wanted to just do different things and work in different places and learn about what's going on. So I actually started working at the World Bank and was working on a variety of projects there around environmental sustainability, working on projects in developing economies and developing markets, to try to have a positive impact on the communities that are there through the World Bank. And the World Bank has arguably one of the most important missions in the world, which is to end poverty. How could you not want to work in that sort of environment? But there were a group of friends of mine that were working at a company called Corporate Executive Board at the time. And they knew me and knew that I'm the type of person that is always curious about different questions and trying to figure out how things work and what are interesting answers to hard problems. And what they told me again and again and again was, this is going to be a great company. You got to go work there. It's the perfect fit for you, all those sorts of things. And I was completely happy at the World Bank. And I made a deal with them, which was, if I go do the interview, then you have to leave me alone and stop asking me about this. I was going to go do the interview to be polite and then be done with it. What I was struck by, though, and it's probably one of the most important first lessons that I learned in life, kind of professional life, is the people that I met there were just across the board, smart, creative, thoughtful thinkers. And while I didn't really understand the company, I didn't really understand what it did, it made no sense to me. But what I was struck by was just really smart people there. And what I figured to myself was, well, if I get a chance to be around really smart people working on really hard problems, I'm going to learn something. Mm-hmm. And even if the company fails, even if after a couple of years, it's not the right fit and it goes someplace else, just being around really smart people creates enormous learning opportunities. And that is a lesson that I've stuck with for my whole professional life, which is just put yourself in rooms and places and jobs and roles at companies, whatever it might be, where there's lots of smart people around. Don't worry so much about what you're going to learn. Just be in a place to learn. And so that was the first most important steps and lessons that I learned early on when I joined Corporate Executive Board, or what eventually was called CEB.
What I would like to say here is this, that the lesson that you shared with is like, when you're being around the smart people, you are learning a lot. So this is such a huge, great message for the corporate executives and the, you know, the people in the leadership roles, because it's just not about going to work without knowing your why, without getting deeply connected with, you know, the kind of work that you're doing and the people around you. Like, it's
everybody has something to teach us. And when we go with that mindset, our corporate jobs are such big blessings, right? And you and I know that corporate jobs, like, people are always trapped. So they feel trapped. They are always thinking that, okay, this is just a means to, you know, to pay my bills and stuff like that. But it's much more than that. And I really love that lesson that you just shared with us today.
You know, I think the from the grand scheme of things, life is pretty short. And as you're thinking about your job, if that's just the place where you go to earn a paycheck, and that's incredibly important, don't get me wrong. But people have choices about where to go to earn that paycheck. And having the opportunity to see different things, explore different things, learn from different people, you never know what sort of doors that's going to open up.
Imagine a healing and coaching experience in the magical Bali, Indonesia. Light yoga, healthy foods, simple meditations, conscious living, inner healing, a ton of interesting activities, plus coaching sessions on creating your career success blueprint, mindset shifts, including your money mindset and peak performance. You would come back with fresh new confidence and positive power with your very own success blueprint to make a true difference at your work, impact the world around you, and make much, much more money in your career. It's happening on various dates starting October this year, and I would love for you to be a part of it. Visit my website, www.authorhina.com, to know more about this luxury retreat. You'd come back as a different person. I promise you that.
One of the things that I learned really early on, I was lucky enough there to be in a series of meetings with a variety of CEOs. And frankly, I was too young to be in those meetings. I was too immature. I was too unaware to really be in those meetings, but it just kind of worked out that way. And I remember in one of those meetings, one of the CEOs leaning over to me, and I was working in our HR practice at the time. And by the way, when I joined, the extent of knowledge I had about the HR practice was really, well, they hire people, they pay people, and that was it. I had no real appreciation of the importance of talent in an organization. But the CEO leaned over to me during the meeting. And we were talking about some talent-related thing. And he goes, "Hey, Brian, you know what? Well, one, why are you talking to me? Because I'm just some nobody and you're a CEO of a big company." But once I got over that and actually started listening to him, what he said was, about 2/3 of my time as a CEO is on HR and talent management, making sure that we've got people that are motivated and excited to be here, making sure that we're identifying who the best leaders are that we need within the organization, making sure that we're rewarding people fairly, making sure that we're creating an engaging environment where people are excited to come to work every day. And I think in a lot of ways, that's the second lesson that I learned. It's something that's very different from what you experience going through grad school in a PhD program. In a PhD program, you're really conditioned in many ways to say, what is the thing that you do? What is the work that you do by yourself to come up with this big idea that is, yes, standing on the shoulders of other people that did a lot of work, but it's you, it's your idea, it's your thing. And so much of grad school in a PhD program is about that. But the second big lesson that I've learned, and that has stuck with me since then, is once you're within an organization, it's really hard to do stuff by yourself. And that you actually need to make sure that you've got the right team around you, that you've got the people that you're working with that are excited and motivated above you, below you, to the left of you, to the right of you. And the importance of that talent component of it and being supportive and creating that environment where people are excited. Because early on, one of the mistakes that I know I made was thinking I could just do it all on my own. And that's just fundamentally not true. You know, I wish I was smart enough and capable enough to just sit in my office by myself, come up with the best ideas imaginable, and figure out how to get them done without the support of anyone. Like, life might be easier that way, but I am neither smart enough nor capable enough to do that. And so really making sure you've got the right people around you. And to what that CEO told me, like, 2/3 of what you do as a leader is all talent related.
Yes.
And early on, when I learned that, I was really focused on getting the work done and, like, coming up with that next idea, coming up with that next product, like selling that next product, whatever it might be. But what I've come to appreciate a lot since then is, by having the right people around you, not only can you get things done and help grow a business, but it's actually much more rewarding.
Yes.
And not financially rewarding. I mean that, but also, like, yeah, emotionally and psychologically rewarding. because you see the people that you work with grow and learn. You see them have amazing impact and experiences. And by having that right group of people around you, it's just incredibly rewarding because you can get stuff done that you never could have done on your own. And you see how everyone else's life around you is improved and better, and how they learn and how they grow. And like I said, I at first thought I could just do it by myself. Then I thought you have to do it with other people to get stuff done. And what I've come to appreciate is, yes, you have to do it with other people to get things done, but the reward is not that next sale. The reward is that smile that is put on someone's face on your team where they learn something new or have that big impact. It is the growth that someone on your team has as they're able to accomplish a new goal that they weren't able to accomplish before. And the financial reward is important for sure, but the emotional reward of having that team that works together and that smile and joy that is brought to them is actually more net emotionally rewarding, yeah. If you will, than just being able to say, we did this sort of project that's there.
This is lovely. When we are caring about the emotions of the people, financial rewards will just follow. It's like no-brainer. They will follow. They will not go anywhere. Just about how happy people are while doing their jobs, while, you know, working on a certain project. This is so important. And money will follow. This is like money is the later thing that comes in the business. But when you focus on adding value to whatever work you do, to the kind of people that you work with, this is so important.
Yeah. You know, here's something that I've come to appreciate this. Making money's great. But when you're looking back on the things that you remember when you're getting drinks with your friends that you worked with before, you very rarely spend time talking about how much money you made in one particular year 15 years ago. What you talk about is those moments when you did something cool, when you came up with a new idea collectively, when someone had that great experience in their life that helped set them on a different trajectory. You remember those moments when one of the clients that you're working with, that they had a different reaction, that they came up with a different idea that impacted what's going on there. And when we're all, you know, 100 years old at the old folks' home, sitting in rocking chairs, those are the moments we're going to remember in life.
Yeah.
We're not going to remember, you know, the year we got to 102% of goal versus
yeah.
goal.
Yes, I love we're that. Yeah.
Where we made a difference. And that's what we're going to talk about. And that's what we're going to joke about. And that's when we're in our old folks home in our rocking chairs. That's what we're going to be remembering and reminiscing about. The times we made a difference, not the times when we were slightly incrementally better than we were before.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
That's a beautiful thought. I agree with that completely, that human relationships enrich our life. That is so important. And you said it so rightly that after so many years, when we remember like what we achieved, okay, we would not remember that, okay, this certain year I achieved that target or that sales target or, you know, money goal. But how we enjoy it with the team, how we had good time with the people that we were working with. That's such a beautiful thing. Brian, you are working as the president of growth at World 50 Group. Would you please tell us what the World 50 Group is and how it is like working in this position of responsibility?
Yeah, World 50 Group is an amazing organization, and I've been lucky enough to work several different amazing organizations. Here, my title is president of growth, and I oversee our leadership development platform and our innovation platform. And what's amazingly cool about World 50 Group is two things. It's a business that's really designed for the senior most executives at different organizations. So really think top of the house at the organizations that are there. But there's a fundamental idea at the core of it, which I think is incredibly powerful. And it resonates with me for many reasons, but one in particular, which is there's no playbook for the problems that executives are facing today. Mm-hmm. All of the easy problems have been solved, in all honesty. And when you're an executive, you are working on the hardest problems. And the hardest problems are the ones where it's a brand new problem. It is a situation we've never encountered before. It is an environment that's completely disruptive. So just for example, there's no playbook for COVID. Like nobody had any idea what to do when it happened. There's no playbook for generative AI. We have no idea what it's going to look like and how things are going to emerge from there. So as an executive, you're constantly confronted with these incredibly hard problems that there's never been a solution for. But you don't have to do it alone. Hmm. If we can actually organize communities of senior executives to help them share and learn from each other and support each other, then they can accomplish great things. And not only accomplish great things for their company, but accomplish great things for the communities that they operate in, the employees that they've got, the people in their supply chain, the customers that they work with, and so on. And at its core, World 50 Group is really using community to solve some of the most difficult challenges that senior executives have. One of the that I never met, but paid attention to because of how smart I guess is Bill Joy. He was the former CEO of Sun Microsystems, you know, forever years ago. And there's a quote that he said once that has stuck with me forever, which is, by definition, no matter how many smart people you have working for you, there's more smart people that aren't working for you. Hmm. And so even if you have a million employees, you have a lot of smart people working for you. Yeah. But we live on a planet with billions of employees. So by definition, there's more smart people that are not working for you than they are working for you, no matter how many smart people you have working for you. So that has always stuck with me, just this basic idea, which is, gosh, if you can harness the knowledge and insights and learnings from the broadest community that you can access, the more likely you are to find those smart ideas, those innovative solutions, those new approaches, those nuggets of wisdom that are there. And I think that is one of the most powerful things that World 50 Group is able to do. And one of the many reasons why I really enjoy working here, and it's a great environment for me.
Perfect. Wonderful. I love that teamwork stuff. It's so important. We don't have to do everything alone. This is so important that we have a group, you know, some right people around us as we are talking about the importance of human relationships at work and how we can enhance ourselves by having the right people around. Would you please share with us a few unique lessons that you learned along the way? What are three unique lessons that you learned? Because I know that you were working as the managing director at Accenture and you have worked with some really great organizations. What are those lessons that you would like to share with our corporate people who can benefit from those lessons?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that will share lessons around, mm-hmm. you know, financial modeling, technical detail, et cetera. And all those things are incredibly important.
Yeah,
I believe in those with certainty. There's a couple of others, though, that I would suggest for people. One is say please and thank you. Mm-hmm. We are so often focused on getting things done, moving on to that next thing, that we forget to just be kind to each other.
Yeah.
It's amazing how far a please and a thank you will go. You know, just ask yourself a question. How many times have you written thank you notes to people that have done amazing stuff for you, or did you just go on to the next thing without just taking 5 minutes to send a thank you note? I think that's one thing. I think a second thing is help people understand the difference that they're actually making. Everybody has too much work to do. Everybody has a ton of stuff on their plate, but a lot of people make a difference in big ways and small ways for some people, for other people, whatever it might be. Spend time and energy making sure that people see the difference that their work has, that point out to them that they did something and it made this thing better. Point out to them that they did something and it made that person happy. Point out to them they did something and it was added with this thing and created a big idea. But to spend the time and energy helping connect people to the impact that they've had. And different people will have different types of impacts, but being really thoughtful about helping people understand what they did and how that made something better. That's a second lesson that I've learned through time. The third one I would suggest to people is constantly assume positive intent until a preponderance of evidence to suggest otherwise. as a leader, there's tons of people that you work with. You have all these sorts of drive-by moments when everyone is stressed in different ways. And it's really easy to get upset and bothered by what one person did in one moment. But do we really know what was going on with them? Maybe they were really stressed about something else. Maybe they had a terrible customer interaction. Maybe something's happening in their personal life. But to you, as much as humanly possible, assume positive intent with the people that you work with, because odds are there's probably something else that's going on that you just don't have insight into. But appreciating that, I think really matters. And on the other hand of that, also realizing that your own behavior in a moment can be really frustrating and distracting for other people. So behaving as much as you possibly can with positive intent yourself, not only assuming others, but engaging yourself. So those are three things that I've tried to live by, you know, please and thank you, help connect people to an outcome and assume positive intent and engage in as much positive intent as you can. And that just makes work for everyone involved less work and more learning. And I think that's incredibly important for leaders to realize and appreciate.
These are incredibly simple, but really profound lessons, like advice that you gave. This is so important. Like when we are thoughtful for people around us, when we are appreciating them for who they are, what they are doing for us, and when we are actually thinking like, what's going on with that person who's behaving like that? This is the quality of a great leader. And I'm sure that these great qualities played a big role in getting you there where you are today.
There's a lot of like technical skills and ability that gets you so far within an organization, within a career. There's lots of people that are tactically okay that become great leaders, and people that are tactically excellent that become poor leaders. And as you're growing your career, it's the realization that what you need to do changes, yeah, and what the expectations of you evolve, and really investing the time and energy in exploring that, appreciating that, that's incredibly important. And the self-awareness that comes along with the three things that I mentioned just matters a ton.
Yes, totally and truly agree with that. Brian, I know that you travel a lot. How is it making you a better person when you travel?
Even though we're in a virtual / hybrid world, kind of whatever you want to call it, whenever I travel to any sort of place, I always make a point of it to try to have some sort of personal connection with people that I know that are there. When you're traveling for work, you're usually traveling with people on your team. You're usually stuck in an airport somewhere.
Yeah.
Take advantage of that time, not to catch up on email, but to talk with the people on your team about how they're doing. I have never been more amazed in terms of the information and things that you learn and the ways that you can be supportive as a leader than when you ask a simple question of people on your team, just like, how are things going? And then a follow-up question is like, what could we do to make things better for you? Yeah. And finding the time to ask those questions is incredibly revealing of what you can then do to create a better, higher performing organization that you've got going forward.
Great. Fantastic. Brian, what's the best way to contact you?
Yeah, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. That is probably the best way possible. I'm pretty active on it and pretty responsive there. So if anybody wants to get in touch with me, feel free to connect that way, and then we can go forward from there.
Perfect. It was such a wonderful conversation with you today. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And I really could see the goodness that you bring to the corporate industry that you just talked about, the lessons learned. You are sharing all those lessons with us. Thank you very much for your time and presence today.
Great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So remember, leadership is a journey of continuous growth and learning, and there is no better way to navigate it than by standing on the shoulders of those who have walked the path before us. If you found today's conversation as inspiring and educational as I did, please subscribe, leave a review, and share the episode with others who may benefit from Brian's valuable insights. And don't forget to connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know, what is your number one takeaway from this episode? That's it for this week. I'll see you next week. Love you guys and girls. Stay happy and safe. Thank you for tuning in. I invite you to subscribe to this podcast and go to my website, authorhina.com, for life and career-changing tools and resources. Be sure to download and read my book, Secrets of the Six-Figure Employee with Zero Stress. It's available on Amazon.